Welcome back to the Veterinary Viewfinder. This week, don't be a sucker! Are you falling for some slick marketing and misinformation and making some bad decisions for your practice? This week, we've got an expert to tell us how we can protect ourselves and our businesses. This week on the Veterinary Viewfinder. Welcome back to the Veterinary Viewfinder, the podcast that tackles the toughest topics in veterinary medicine. And this week, not only are we going to tackle a tough topic, but we had a tough time actually putting this podcast together because, as many of you know, Becky Mosser, our registered veterinary technician co-host, and myself have been evacuated from Hurricane Florence. Becky then was subsequently deployed to help hurricane victims by the ASPCA, and so she's unavailable. Our other co-host, Dr. Cindy Courtney, is away on a family vacation, much needed. So it was going to be just me until my buddy, who I'm going to introduce in just a second, who's a friend of the podcast, decided he would help me, and we decided we were going to tackle something really tough. But before I introduce my wonderful, wonderful guest today, as always, I am your host, Dr. Ernie Ward. And this week, once again, on the Veterinary Viewfinder podcast, we are welcoming my dear friend, Bill Schroeder, who is the founder, CEO, the big kahuna over at an amazing company called In Touch Communications. You can find out more at intouchvet.com. Bill, thanks for coming back.
It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, Bill, you and I, when we were sort of putting this thing together, you were passionate about a topic. I said, Bill, let's talk about something that's on your mind. Tell our listeners what you said to me.
Well, you caught me right in the middle of a frustrating experience where I had a practice that came to us and they started speaking about a marketing plan they got involved with, but they didn't understand what was going on before they got involved. Basically, they started a marketing plan without doing appropriate research. And as I'm digging deeper and deeper into the subject matter, I couldn't help but feel sorry for them and other practices along the lines. And I'm hoping that this message can help us get the word out there that there is a huge amount of information and a huge amount of gain that can be made if you do your research before you start, like look before you leap.
Right. And Bill, before we even get into it, let's rewind it for some of our listeners who might not follow exactly what a marketing plan is. What we're really referring to are some of these sort of sales pitches that come to your clinic and either email or somebody stops in or they telephone call and they basically say, hey, look, for a low sum, we will do some digital marketing, some direct marketing. We will somehow handle your quote unquote advertising, right?
Exactly right. I was just at giving a lecture in Virginia, and I had a veterinarian come up to me afterwards, and he said, what the heck is going on with your industry, meaning the digital marketing industry? I looked at him perplexed and said, I have no idea what you're talking about. He said he's gotten more calls at his practice in this calendar year than he has in the 30 prior years combined, because there are all these firms that are just dialing for dollars and trying to get somebody roped into a very, very low-cost plan just to gather the revenue. The truth is, they're not doing much from a marketing standpoint. And as a result, the practices are not gaining like they should.
Yeah, and Bill, and let's face it. I mean, these are attractive offers, just like this colleague that came up to you at this conference. I also have been inundated and overwhelmed by these phone calls and emails to my own personal practice and accounts. And it's a couple $100. It's $500. So at the end of the day, you're going, what's the harm in just trying that? But there is some harm, right?
There sure is. And, the example that this particular practice that I was speaking of earlier had brought to me is they had signed up with a firm that charged $199 a month for their practice marketing online, at least. And a little bit of background of the practice. It's a four-doctor practice located in a suburb of a major city, a New York suburb. And they had invested the $199 a month. And I couldn't help but scratch my head and wonder what they really expected to get from that.
Right.
And if you've got, four FTE, four full-time equivalent doctors that you're looking to promote through your digital marketing, that leaves $50 a month to promote their entire book of business, which is probably pretty significant.
Yeah. And Bill, I'll stop you right there. I will tell you, for a lot of clinics, that's a stretch already. There are a number of veterinary clinics out there that don't spend $50 per full-time equivalent on any kind of digital marketing, right? So, I mean, we are really behind this game. And I think what happens is the slick salesman shows up, they make a wonderful pitch online or on the telephone, and suddenly you go, hey, this makes a lot of sense, I guess, but there's really no substance to their message.
This is why I'm so excited about speaking with you about that subject, because you're right. And that when you look at how a program should be run, well, let's face it, there's a lot of data that's available. In fact, most actions online can be tracked these days. And I'm asking, you know, that practices start to pay attention to the proper things, which will help you, the practice owner, make better marketing decisions. For example, you know, for the longest time, the industry has been conditioned to talk about search engine rankings. And it's important, you know, like where you come up in Google, and you have doctors that come up and say, I want to be number one in Google. I want to be number one.
I hear that too. Yeah.
What does it take to get up there? And I'm almost scratching my head and frequently saying, that doesn't matter as much anymore.
Right.
I want you to be higher in Google. And if we can get number one, first page, that's great. But it's not really what I want you to pay attention to. I could get you, you know, well, let me illustrate by asking you a question. Which would be more valuable, a number one ranking for a term in Google that does not turn into appointments, or a number three ranking in Google that is converting to the things that you need in order to drive the business of your practice? It's obviously a rhetorical question, because the latter is the most beneficial, because you can actually generate revenue from it. And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And this is where it gets really frustrating, because veterinarians aren't conditioned, as you say, to think in this manner. And so we kind of go, well, what do you want? Oh, we want number one, right? And reality today is that A, the search algorithms are getting more and more sophisticated. Local searches based on your actual location when you make that search is becoming even more imperative to your success. And then the key that Bill is leaning into right here is that it's not just searching for veterinarian that actually will drive that next appointment. It may be around my dog's ear is red, right? That may actually translate into an appointment more than where's the closest veterinarian.
100%. Think of the very frequent things that you would bring your dog into the vet for. Let's talk about itch, right? And how frequently you'll get a pet owner that will search online and then take recommendations from Dr. Google or look for recommendations. Is your practice there in that conversation, letting them know that you have solutions available at your practice? You can demonstrate the frustration, how the fact that itch breaks down the human-animal bond, all these sorts of things. And then by being part of that conversation, if your digital marketing is done properly, it'll lead to them actually requesting an appointment. And those are the sorts of things that you should be tracking when you're evaluating the effectiveness of your marketing. So it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right, it is. And so there's two things going on here that really frustrate people like me and Bill. Number one is there's somebody coming in who's saying for $199 a month, we got you covered. And they really don't. I mean, Bill, what are they going to actually do for that money?
I'm not so sure what you could do for $199. I mean, certainly there are efforts that go out there. But when you line up, you know, putting a website up or doing marketing, one is checking a box, and then the other one is getting deep into the things that you need to have happen in order for your practice to grow. I'm really not interested in having conversations with box-checking practices.
Right.
I really only want to talk to the people that want to grow, and that should be just about every practice that's out there. And I guess another thing that should be said at this point is that if your marketing is done properly and you are tracking the results of your actions on a regular basis, your marketing spend shouldn't be looked at as just, like I said, a spend. It should be an investment in your growth, where you're able to track back, okay, so I spent, X number of dollars this month and it turned into this number of appointments that I wouldn't have gotten unless I did this effort. If you track it all down to net profits, there's your the ammunition to decide that helped you decide whether or not you're going to do that again, or you're going to up your efforts, things like that.
Yeah. So these companies, I think, A, aren't really doing a whole lot for you. They may be some very generic posts, some very generic, you know, email type of stuff. And this is what leads us to that second part of the frustration, which, you know, and I'm going back to when you and I first connected. One of our first lectures we gave together back at North American Veterinary Conference, which is now VMX. But we were really, I remember hammering home saying, you guys need to have a blog post. And what both of us were trying to say is that it is the content, not just SEO, you know, at the time, or search engine optimization, but it's actually building this reservoir and archive of content that means when they are searching for that itch, that there's some type of content that you've already created. So again, you know, I think what people like you do, Bill, better than anybody else is, A, you know the industry and you know the medicine, the profession, but you actually help that clinic create personalized content, right? Not just this generic, you know, 100 clinics are getting the same message. You actually say, let's look at what the unique properties of your clinic are, and let's now make a marketing plan and a content plan around that.
I am smiling from ear to ear. It is, you know, I just gave a lecture at Connexity, and I was speaking about blogging, and I asked my audience, I said, what if Google dropped off a form every month to you, and Google said, fill this form out and use the keywords and phrases that you want to be considered for, or that you consider your practice to be excellent at. And I asked my audience, I said, how many of you would actually fill this form out in hopes that Google would consider those keywords? And everybody, of course, raised their hand. Well, I turned around and I said, what if I told you already have that in a blog?
You do. You've had it.
You've
know.
Got the form. It's a blank sheet every single month. And if you are telling Google that these are the things that are important, these are the value adds, the value propositions for your practice, and the reasons why a pet owner should choose your practice over another, well, you're doing your job right. If you're not, someone else is taking advantage of that online conversation. You hit the nail on the head. Those directories, those online resource guides that where there's information that's cross-published against a whole bunch of sites, you know, it's the basically the services and the online information forms or the online resources that are loaded up by some marketing companies. That doesn't work well because Google hates duplicate content.
Right.
And they can tell you, and a lot of these firms will tell you, that they've made adjustments in the code so that it's acceptable to Google.
Nope.
Well, you're right. Yeah, no. Well, they can do that. They can put some bit of code on there that says, hey, Google, look the other way. But if Google is looking the other way,
you're not
then
ranking.
The content doesn't have any value.
Right.
So why are we doing it? And I think it's a sales technique, and that if you're going to create content for your website, it needs to be custom written for and about your practice.
Yep. And you need some direction. And I'll tell you how sophisticated Google is at determining duplicate. If you have video content, if you have audio content, if you have written content that is shared on multiple websites, you are now deranked, right? I mean, it picks up video. It can pick up my voice. It can pick up the songs that I use. In fact, YouTube is amazing. If I tried to put the same YouTube video up on two different channels, because I have several YouTube channels, Bill, guess what happens? Boom, instantly dinged. I will get a warning from YouTube. And if I do it again, then my channel can be shut down or temporarily suspended. All right. So don't be a sucker when it comes to these marketing plans. Don't fall for the slick, advertising and the slick sales pitch. You need to do your due diligence, as Bill has already pointed out. Bill, let's talk about some of the other areas, though, that maybe veterinary clinics are being a little suckers to. What's that next thing that maybe you'd like to share?
Well, I think these days you need to pay attention to how your project is built from a foundational standpoint. And when I talk about a project, I'm talking about digital marketing, and it all leads back to your practice website. It's the only bit of digital content that you truly own. keep in mind in all those social spaces that are easy to navigate, they're free because you are basically borrowing the space online. So all of your focus should be towards your practice website. Of course, you should have those social channels that point back, but realize that they could go away tomorrow. Elon Musk said something really recently when Mark Zuckerberg was going through all the court hearings with the government, which those are hilarious to watch, by the way.
They are.
I mean, really, if you haven't watched them, everybody, go ahead and Google like Zuckerberg's exchange with Congress. It makes me laugh every time.
It's like you explaining to your grandparents how the internet works.
Yes, and there are some favorites, but we don't have time for that. But so check that out. But Elon Musk turned around and he said right about at that time, wouldn't it be funny if I bought Facebook and then shut it down?
Yeah, that's a real possibility. And I'll tell you a quick little story that that I've shared on a couple of places, but there's a veterinary clinic in Canada, and they do a lot on Facebook. They are really active. I mean, they are crushing it in their local area. And there was like the hockey playoffs or something a few months back, you know, Bill? I don't know. Like so sometime in the past 6 months, there was like and I'm not a hockey fan, so I apologize to listeners who are hockey fans. Big hockey stuff was going on, their team was winning and like in the finals or whatever, right? And so they did a live stream from their treatment area. And in the background, they had the TV. So the whole team is watching, you know, that's on duty at that time. They're watching this hockey match, right? And they're all going, go team, go team. Facebook noticed that. And again, it's not they noticed that. It's not a person noticed. It is the artificial intelligence found that they were broadcasting via the video, the audio, whatever it was, suspended their page for 30 days.
That's amazing. I had not heard that particular story. I did hear a similar story about that big boxing match where the wrestler and the boxer were going at it, and people were live streaming that and they were getting shut down instantly. But you're right. The technology is so smart that you've got to stay within the rules.
Well, and this is where owning your content. See, because if that had been done, and not that they could necessarily do that exactly, that same type of streaming on their website, because again, they are violating some copyright issues. But the reality is, you know, their Facebook page got suspended for 30 days. In fact, they petitioned it, and Facebook's like, this is a clear violation. We cannot make an exception. You broadcast this, you know, copyrighted material. We're in trouble for that, right? Again, owning the content on your website, as Bill said, that's the only thing they can't. So data security, website security, I mean, this is big time serious stuff now, right, Bill?
It really is. We've moved into a space where Google has blatantly come out and they've said, if your website does not have a security certificate attached to it, they are going to, in great likelihood, reduce how you are being displayed in the search engines. You see, Google always wants to serve up the most, how do I say, the best experience for the searcher. They want to make certain that when a customer uses Google to find an answer, that not only is the answer the most accurate, but that the entire experience is one that will cause them to come back and not go to another one of the search engines. So avoiding viruses and making certain that sites are secure has become a very important feature for Google.
Yeah, and what Bill's referring to is back in January, Google had made a statement that no longer, if you had an HTTP website, that they would rank you highly. So now you have to have the HTTPS, which is the S is for a security certificate that some like HostGator made you pay extra. I use Squarespace for most of my websites now. They actually just rolled it into our fees. They did then raise our fees earlier this year. But regardless, you know, so you have to have the HTTPS extension if Google is going to rank you, I guess, normally, or the way we used to do it. And so that's what Bill's referring to. And we're still seeing websites that veterinary clinic websites that just didn't keep up, right, Bill?
I mean, exactly right.
I don't understand why, but they just didn't pay the extra money or do whatever. And what happens is when a person then searches for whatever, or they type in your website address, www.seasidevet.com, whatever, and you don't have the HTTPS security extension, then it says, warning, retreat. Do you want to go here? This could be unsafe. And that freaks people out.
Yes, exactly. So how did this happen? One, people aren't updating their sites, or two, they could be involved with a provider that is no longer managing the site. There are many legacy platforms out there that were put together just to deliver that company's products, and they're left out there astray. So how can you tell? Look up your website, and then in the upper left-hand corner, right where the www, it's called, you know, in the URL, where you enter the URL, if you look right next to the HTTPS, there is a locked lock. That's another way that you can see that your site is secure. So it's just an easy way to check it out.
You may be inadvertently being getting dinged and not getting the search results that you want. And like Bill said, what has actually happened, I had this run into a colleague of mine not too long ago. He was asking me, man, you know, what's going on the website? People are saying it's got a virus. But what had happened was he had used another quote unquote veterinary website provider. He'd been with them for like 10 years. That company, which he didn't quite realize, had actually sold off that part of their business to another company who really just wasn't maintaining these accounts. You know, whether we got like 300 vet clinics, whatever, they're just sitting out there. They don't care about that. That's not making them money. And they had not updated or even offered the option to update to the new security. So you got to stay on top of that. All right, Bill, what else? How else are veterinarians potentially being suckers when it comes to all this digital space?
I hate to be the doom and gloom guy. Here I am again. But this is something that just happened within the last 60 days. We're all familiar with the Americans with Disabilities Act because we own buildings, we've got practices where people come in and out, so we're accustomed to having the railings, the ramps, the handicap accessible bathrooms and facilities in general. Well, this type of logic has extended out to websites. There was actually a lawsuit filed in the state of New York. I read the lawsuit myself, whereby a person who was visually impaired sued a veterinary practice because he could not read the website, and the website wasn't structured in such a manner that it worked well with his website reader that reads the site to him because he can't read, because he's visually impaired. So the crazy thing about this, Ernie, is the fact that the Americans with Disabilities Act people have not come through and made a very definite list of the things that have to be done. There are a lot of opinions out there, and there are some best practices that basically align with making certain that there are descriptions behind every picture. All of your text can be read by the readers that go out there, that there aren't particular color variations out there, so that those who have problems seeing it, it's a real deal. The practice that I'm mentioning, where they were sued, they settled out of court for quite a bit of money. I can't remember if it was $16,000 or $21,000 that they settled for. And they did so because, although they were pretty positive that they would win by the time they made it to court, they didn't want to run through all of the rigmarole. And my point is that if your site is not compliant with what we believe are the standards for the Americans with Disabilities Act, you should do so immediately.
Wow. You know, and Bill, that's a really remarkable story. I'm glad you shared that. You know, we've heard this for several years that the ADA was going to, you know, start to take action against certain websites. I just honestly thought it just didn't turn into a thing. You know, you're kind of like, okay, I get it. I don't really know how to solve it. And it sounds like the ADA hasn't made clear the recommendations or requirements yet.
They're getting clearer day by day.
Wow.
And it really is frustrating, because as soon as you think you've got it tackled, they come out with a different suggestion. But my advice would be for someone to look at their web provider and say, what have you done to help me align with these best practices out there? And I don't want to make a list because it's ever changing, but if you're working with a good digital marketing firm, they should be on top of it. Actually, they should have contacted you already, because if your site's not ADA compliant, they should be running like heck to get it there.
Wow, that's fascinating. Boy, I'm glad you told us that. So again, that's just one of the areas that we want to be on top of. We don't want to be caught, you know, on the wrong side of these types of lawsuits because, as Bill pointed out, this person had to pony up, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, it sounds like. Finally, before I let you go, Bill, I do want to talk about one other area that I see people being taken advantage of, and that's sort of this new emergence of multiple GPOs. And when I say GPOs, that refers to group purchasing organizations. And you guys, these are buying groups or whatever. Many of you are out there. In fact, I think over 50% now of all U.S. independently owned clinics are a member of a GPO. And of course, the big corporate players are a GPO in and of themselves. So about half the clinics out there know what I'm talking about, but the other half are starting to want in on the action. And look, I'm in full disclosure, you know, I am one of the executives at Vertical Vet, which is a hybrid GPO. So we're kind of trying to do things a little bit different. If you want to check it out, verticalvet.com, just shameless plug. But the reality is a lot of guys are out there, you know, pitching products that I don't know what they're selling. So you may be met with a phone call, an email, somebody stopping in who says, hey, we're going to help you get the best pricing on your drugs and supplies. Make sure we optimize your rebates. And you really need to read the fine print because we have had some of our members, we have nearly 500 members nationwide now in our group. And they're being approached and we're looking at some of these contracts and they're kind of scary. And Bill, they're scary on two levels. Number one, there's like there's really no guarantee of what they're offering. So like they just kind of say, hey, best pricing. What does that mean? Like, who do you work with? Who are your, you know, accounts? Like, do you have key distributor relationships? Right. Like, you know, is MWI part of your group, you know, or do you have like BI? Do you have, you know, Zoetis? I mean, who's involved with you, right? And the second thing is they typically want to tap into your client base, which is where I get a little nervous, right? Because I know that they promise not to do anything with that data. But the one thing that we learned from just say the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal, you know, we know that there are a lot of third parties that once they have access to your client's data, we don't know where it winds up, you know? And so I really do, if you're out there listening today, just be extra careful about these relationships. And we started this discussion off with, you know, Bill bringing us this talk about, you know, these companies offering $199 a month marketing plans that really don't have any substance to them. And what I'm saying is, look, it's not just digital marketing, it's extending all across. And Bill, I guess the main reason this is happening now and it didn't happen 20 years ago is because there's more money in vet medicine. Is that sort of a fair assessment?
I would agree with you wholeheartedly, and the availability of the data.
Yeah. You know,
it goes back, it's a perfect circle that we've created here. It's look before you leap, make certain that you read the fine print, and if a deal is too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. I always question what exactly, what happens when to a service or to the service that a practice receives when a price point is discounted so tremendously, I wonder if there's an incentive in that package for the provider to actually provide the care that a practice ultimately needs. Making decisions without research is very, very much like diagnosing without an exam. And none of us would do that. But it's as crazy as that, I guess.
Well, I don't know, Bill. I tell you, I have enjoyed this conversation. It's not crazy. It is reality. We need to apply better data to our decision-making. We need to look before we leap, as you've said repeatedly. And most importantly, we need to safeguard and secure our digital online presence, our business relationships, and most importantly, the security of our client information, because that is where we're going to start to see more and more lawsuits moving forward. Bill, I want to thank you so much. Short notice, you really helped us out today. You're a friend of our podcast. Again, tell us where we can find out more for people that say, hey, I don't want to get ripped off. I don't want to be a sucker. I want to do the right thing. Where can they go?
I really appreciate that. Please visit us at www.intouchvet.com. Or if you'd like to speak with me personally, I'd be glad to drop what I'm doing and listen and provide you some advice or get you to one of my analysts that can probably do a better job than I can. My phone number, let's be real here, right? It's 1-800-493-9003. And I really appreciate this opportunity, my friend. I hope all is well with you and the family, and I'm glad to see that you didn't get hurt too bad in the storms.
Yeah, and I got to thank Bill, too. I was scheduled to speak at AHA Connexity, and of course, my whole entire world was turned upside down. Airport shut down, evacuated. So, Bill, thanks again for taking up my slack at Connexity. I hated to miss it, but obviously we were dealing with a hurricane. So you've heard what we have to say. Now we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Where do you think vets are being suckers, and how can we avoid and do the best practices? Cindy would want me to say that, look, we want to hear from you. Please give us a review on iTunes in particular, but more importantly, share our stories with veterinary colleagues, because our goal here at the Veterinary Viewfinder is simply to provoke and raise the questions that we should be talking about as a profession. And Becky would never, ever leave an episode without saying, don't forget to subscribe. So until next time, as always, I'm Dr. Ernie Ward, and don't be a sucker. Bye.
See you later.